Prepare to be amazed by Stan and the Coach.
Good evening, and this is Stan with Stan the Coach once again this week, coming to you with the Coach, Coach Greg Ennis. Coach Ennis, another week we're here, man. How's things going?
It's going great. Going great. Had a good doctor's checkup. Got the boot off my ankle. He told me I was probably going to have double knee replacement by the time I'm 65. And I told him we'll wait till 65.
I might as well put it off, you know. Good things come to those who wait, right?
That's right. They may come up with something, you know, they may have like a jet-powered little rascal to wheel around on. I may get one of those.
Or you might get a bionic leg or something.
You remember, I know the Lee Majors,
all that stuff. That'd be awesome.
Miss Olivia may end up as the bionic woman. Who knows?
That's right. Well, Coach, hey, we got a special guest tonight. We got Coach Jason Wombles from over.
I've been waiting to talk to him.
From over in Sampson. He's not just the head football coach, but he's also the head softball coach. And we're going to talk a little softball and then a little football with him. It's also Bigfoot conferences are around the corner, Coach. And
I've already made my reservations.
Well, yeah, they're right around
the
corner.
We'll talk about that later.
We're going to talk about Bigfoot later. We got some stories there. Stevie is, I think, trying to get his club together over in Ino. Except the church, Baptist church, wouldn't let him meet over there. But
you know I know.
I know, and you know I know, but Stevie don't know I know.
Stevie don't have a clue about them folks in I know.
Of course, if I had walked into a church with a mask on, I probably wouldn't let myself have a meeting either.
Oh, I can understand why when Stevie came in with his Bigfoot mask on, they asked him to look.
No, he had his wrestling mask on. They thought it was a robbery. He's robbing the offering plate. But
who would know with all the masks people wear nowadays?
Yeah, who knows? And also, we're going to talk about Bring Back the Pipe, hashtag Bring Back the Pipe. So, I mean, we got a big show. We got Coach Wombles. We got Bigfoot and the Pipe. So, we're going to bring Coach Wombles in right here. He's been patiently waiting for us right here. And there it is. Hey, Coach Wombles, how's things going tonight?
Going great. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
I know softball. Yeah. I know softball.
Good shows.
I don't know about good. They some shows.
No, I've enjoyed them. I've enjoyed them a lot.
We appreciate that. I know softball season is kicked off. There's been a lot of games already played, big tournaments played all over the place. I know with your team, expectations are high. That group of girls that you got, I remember them starting out junior high and taking their lumps.
Yep.
And then passing them out. And now they're in them upper grades right now. I guess they're all juniors and seniors now.
No, they're sophomores and juniors.
You got a few more good years out of them. But
right. Coach, I got to ask you one question.
I do.
All right. About your softball. Do you have, because I've seen what you can do to a softball. I want to know if you've got any girl on your team that can hit a softball as far as you can.
I got one that can hit it pretty good. Kaylee Johnson's already hit a couple home runs in games, and when we do our front tossing, she's probably good for 5 out of 10 going over the fence. And our field in Sampson's a long distance for softball field, so she can hit it very well. And we've got a couple other girls that swing it well, so we're getting there. You know, we still got a ways to go, but they swing the bat hard, but we work on that a lot. So they can probably out-hit me now. I'm getting old and, you know, had a few surgeries here and there, and so I'm slowing down a little bit.
Now, Coach Ennis, that wasn't even a fair question to ask Coach Wombler. Right there.
Well, you put him on the spot.
Yeah.
I saw him hit one night
the light. It was out of the light. It went into the dark. It was over at Geneva. So yeah. Coach Wombles hit one. I don't know if it's come down yet.
It may not have. If he hit over in Geneva.
A long time ago. I think he hit it all the way to the river.
Well, Coach Wombles.
If I could do that, I probably wouldn't be sitting here on the computer with y'all right now.
I know we talked before you came on the show. You was in a big tournament this weekend, you know, playing some out of classification, schools that are probably playing late into this school year, you know, when all that rolls around. Kind of tell us how the season has started off and maybe go into what your area looks like and throw some names out there.
You know, when I first got these girls, you know, they had not had much success. So we started out trying to learn to win a lot of ball games and, you know, have good record and generate that, you know, excitement. So as they've gotten older, we've kind of upped the schedule strength and things like that. And this year, you know, they're juniors and sophomores, and we got one senior. So we went ahead and loaded up. And, you know, our first tournament was last weekend. That was our first games. So we opened up with ACA out of Montgomery. Very good softball team in 4A, 3A or 4A.
Private school.
And they beat us in three extra innings, 4-3. And then, you know, it's pool play. So the following games, I played, you know, a lot of our other kids trying to develop some pitching and things like that. So, and it was a 7-5 game with the next team we played that we won. And then we played W.S. Neal on Saturday, who ended up winning the tournament. And we played them to go to the Final Four, and they beat us in three extra innings, 4-3. So, you know, we're scoring runs and a couple mistakes here and there. We win both of those ball games, and, you know, I can't complain with that because that's why we went, was to play good teams. And we played Zion Chapel, who has definitely improved a lot. I mean, they've got some coaches over there coaching them up, and they've had some girls move in, and they're finally getting older as well. We were up 3-0 for most of the game, and they punched a couple across in the fourth, you know, late in the game, but we ended up winning out 3-2. Played Houston County yesterday, and it was 18-0 in 3-in, and so, I pitched a lot of people and worked some things, but, we'll get in our area play. You know, traditionally, Kinston and Pleasant Homes strong every year, you know, so in order to beat them, we've got to go play these games like we played last weekend and learn to win those, you know, games that are one or two run games late in the game. So, you know, we may not win as many games this year just because I've upped our schedule strength, but it'll prepare us for our area play. So,
Coach, I think that's awesome. Hey, I got to ask you this too.
All right.
Pleasant Home used to always have a softball tournament. They still have their softball tournament. That was when Jimmy Reeves was still there.
Yeah, they don't. You're talking about a men's tournament, right?
No, I'm talking about the girls' softball.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't have it. I don't know if they just stopped having it or what happened, but now Jimmy Reeves used to put on a good tournament over there.
Jimmy, and the best thing about Jimmy's tournament over there was they had homemade blueberry ice cream.
Yeah.
I used to go to that tournament every year just for the ice cream.
You know, Jimmy Reeves and I played softball together for a long time.
Well, Jimmy was a good coach, and he was a great asset to that school. So you went to a softball tournament just to eat ice cream?
Just eat ice cream.
And watch the girls. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm probably, well, I'm not going to say this, but at the time, I enjoyed watching girls softball because to me, and I've said this before, It was like watching tennis on a ping pong table. I love watching those girls, and those girls would get after it, man.
They will.
And then when you got a big old bowl of blueberry ice cream sitting right here in front of you, watching good softball, it don't get any better than that.
Well, I hope that tournament was later in the season instead of now, but you might have one in 40-degree days.
Yeah.
I don't imagine blueberry ice cream.
Hey, the weather last Friday when we left Sampson going to Greenville, We were in short sleeves, and I broke a sweat helping load the equipment. We got to Greenville. I had to go back in and put my hoodie and my jacket on it and drop that much by the time we got over there.
Never know what kind of weather you're going to get. Let's see. Coach, probably there might be some interference or something right there.
Yeah, I hear it.
Is your device moving?
No.
Okay. There we go. It stopped. That may have been Coach Ennis.
I had my phone sitting beside the computer.
Well, I don't know. We're going to make it. As far as pitching goes, do you have depth there? You got one?
We do. We got, of course, we got Kaylee Johnson that, she's really good. She'll be playing somewhere at the next level. Then we've got Allie Brooke Godwin, who's also a junior that I've had the whole time developing, getting ready to pitch. And she comes in and throws well. She's a mid-50s to 56 miles an hour. And then Michaela Phillips, who is a strike-throwing machine, she probably throws, it looks like a changeup every pitch, but she can put it on the outside, the inside, low, high, wherever she wants. And if she comes in behind Kaylee, man, it makes people look really bad because they've swung twice before the ball gets there. And then I've got an eighth grader coming, Molly Glisson. Her brother is Gunnar Glisson that signed to go play with Birmingham Southern this year in football. She has really come on. She pitches for our junior high team, and she throws well. And she's going to be another tall, long kid that can throw it. She'll be up in the 60s probably by the time she's 10th, 11th grade. So we've got some pitchers coming. And next year they'll all be juniors and seniors. So that's going to make a big difference too.
Well, I know that I knew going into this season that this was going to be a chance for you to have a real solid team and make a run in there at the end. I think you will. Everything, like I said, the way I think that y'all going to hit the ball, you're going to put runs out there. You got to play defense and post drive.
That's right. And we haven't played a lot yet for the bats to really come alive, but you know how that goes. We want to catch fire toward the end of the season when it counts. So, we're working on some things, messing with the lineup a little bit. And we know who can play and what they can do, so we just got to keep working and getting better at it.
Well, Coach, we're going to change gears real quick from softball to football.
All right.
It's up to here since you wear multiple hats. There's a classification change, moving out of 1A, going to be up to 2A. How do you feel about that?
You know what we tell our guys is it's just another challenge for you to learn and to learn how to deal with life as it goes on, because you ain't always going to be where you want to be or where you think you should be. But I'll be honest, I do think that the 1A region we were in, it's going to be really, really strong this year because Elba dropped, and they won that region last year that we're going into. So, obviously Ericton's supposed to be really good, and G.W. Long is always going to be a good team. Wicksburg dropping down, which was a shocker to me, but they'll be really good. So, 1A, we had Brantley, Elba, and I really think McKenzie's going to be really, really strong this year. I don't see there being a lot of difference there as being in 1A or 2A, besides maybe 2A having a little more depth. But we've got a good group returning of starters and juniors and seniors for next year. But, the 9th and 10th grade is a little slim as far as what we've got returning. So as long as we stay healthy and play our game and keep doing what we're doing, of course, we're still staying in the weight room and getting after it, we'll be able to compete. I would like to think that we can make it get in the playoffs in that region too.
Well, we were talking earlier too. Hey, you're the longest tenured head football coach in Geneva County. Slocum's got a new coach.
Right.
Geneva County High School there in Hartford looking for a new coach. What's this? This will be going into what season for you at Sampson? How many years have you been at Sampson?
This was my fourth year right now, so I'll be working for season 5 next year.
On 5? That says a lot right there. You you know, put that foundation in. And I think that's one reason that you've had the success that you had is not, I mean, you're a good coach, but going in a place like Hampton, you know, usually they've had coaches there 1 or 2 years and they move on, you know. And Coach Ennis and I had an opportunity to work together there, you know, during a lean time, you know. But there's always been good kids there.
Right.
And there's always been support. That's not just in football, that's in everything. I mean,
yeah.
You can cow tipping contest out there and they turn out for.
That's right. That's the thing that has stood out to me since I've been at Sampson is just the community support, you know. And it doesn't matter if you're winning or losing. Those folks show up. They're going to feed us. They're going to take care of us. They're going to invite us into the churches. And, you know, those things are big for kids. That gives them a good environment to be in and something to remember, a good memory about playing ball and being, you know, involved in extracurricular. So, you know, I've been very fortunate that a lot of the people coming through now, their kids and their parents and I were around the same age. So, you know, I grew up 10 miles up the road. So most of those people I know, and I know their grandparents. And so it's really worked out good for me right now with what's going on. And, you know, we're going to have some lean years. It happens everywhere in a small school. But, you know, I think we've established that we can win when we've got the opportunity to. So, and I've been very blessed to have a good coaching staff, you know, the whole time I've been there. I've had plenty of coaches. So that makes a big difference, too.
You'll have to get Coach Ennis to tell you that night I twisted his arm to run a fake punt.
We're not going to talk about that tonight.
And Coach Ennis also coached an all-Saban member.
I did. I had an all-Saban player when I was at Sampson.
I know who you're talking about.
He was all-Saban and
yep. That was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Well, Coach, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight. And Baby Huey was his name. But I wish you the best of luck,
you know, going
into this softball season. And as football gets more, we can talk about football.
Oh, yeah. You can talk about that all day.
You need to put your softball cap on. Y'all go out and win as many as you can and try to make it to Jackson. No? Yeah, that's right there. At Oxford. Yeah. Oxford up there. At that nice so corner right there.
We're trying to take steps, so we want to get to the Gulf Shores first and see how that world goes out.
Just go ahead and punch your ticket to Oxford.
Just go
to Oxford.
I hear you. Yeah. I appreciate your confidence.
Well, Coach. If you'll tell them down at Gulf Shores to get some blueberry ice cream, I'll be there.
Come on, I tell you what. If we make it Gulf Shores, I'll buy you some blueberry ice cream for you to come on down and hang out with us.
Well, that's good. That's going to cost you right there, because I'm telling you.
better have a gallon ready.
That's right.
Coach, I appreciate it.
Thank y'all. We appreciate y'all reaching out to us.
Mm-hmm. Good luck, Coach.
See y'all.
Coach, blueberry ice cream at a softball tournament?
Coach, it was awesome. I'm telling you.
Was it homemade?
The best ice cream I've ever eaten.
Homemade?
Homemade.
Was Coach Reeves stirring it by hand?
No, Coach Reeves wasn't. He told me who was making it, and I can't remember, but... I'm telling you, it was some of the best blueberry ice cream I have ever had in my life.
Well, and
I'm not talking about blueberry syrup. I'm talking about just little for real blueberry. It was delicious.
That's all I got to say about it. I got one of my kids brought this to me before we started recording. I got an old slide whistle. You got one at your house, Coach?
A slide whistle?
Yeah. I don't know why they want me to have that, but...
Power Prep Sports.
and make a racket.
He was to get ready.
Well, that's what, you know, those are coming up pretty soon.
Coach? And
our yearly trip, Stevie goes up to Chattanooga. To that big, I guess it's the biggest one in the country.
It's the Great Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference. It's July the 23rd. And you can get VIP tickets. The tickets range, general admission is $25. And that basically gets you in the building.
That gets you in the building. And that gets you a Bigfoot burger or a drink, or that's just T-shirt. Gets you in the building.
But the VIP package, and you know that's what I'm getting.
I got to hear, how much is the VIP package?
The VIP package is $150.
I better get a T-shirt for that.
You do. Coach, for the VIP package, there's a limited number of VIP package available. And seating is in the very front row, right there at the speakers.
Well, I know there'll be three of us there.
Yes. All right. And it's in front of where all the traffic is. So them people are not bothering you. So you can really concentrate on the speakers. Okay?
Well, have they got a list of speakers? Do we know who's speaking?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. But I promise you, it will be something you can tell your great-great-grandchildren will be telling stories about you and the VIP pass. It was a great Smoky Mountain Bigfoot conference.
But you can see not behind me right now. I found Bigfoot. He's standing right behind me.
Well, Coach, I'm telling you, you get to meet and greet and have dinner with the speakers.
And we don't know who they are yet.
Have dinner with them.
Well, you reckon one of them's that fellow off Finding Bigfoot? What's his
name? Oh, I know it is.
What's
and
his name?
Also, Bobo. Let me tell you what else you get now. You ain't going to believe these. You're not going to believe it.
You get a limo ride.
You get a t-shirt, and you get a signed Bigfoot item from each one of the speakers.
For $150.
$150. That's all. Can you believe it's such a bargain?
I felt like I should be paying them more.
I know. I'm probably going to give a donation.
Yeah, I'm going to give a donation where they're going to have to show me some proof.
Coach, there's proof out there.
Well, that's why I'm going. I didn't go, a couple years ago when Stevie went.
Well, the COVID got us.
Yeah, we didn't. Well, they didn't have it during the COVID.
No, that's what I'm telling you. The COVID got us.
But I guess
they were scared that we'd give it to Bigfoot.
Well, that's what Stevie come back saying a year ago, that Bigfoot got the COVID and was on a ventilator.
Hey, Mom.
And we told Stevie that wasn't something to be joking about. But he swore up and down that he was on a ventilator, but he's recovered.
Well, I think they gave him some horseworm medicine.
Some vermectin?
Yeah, some horseworm medicine. And he got butter. Who knew?
Some gummy Skittles.
Yeah. Who knew?
Well, that's one of those things. I know you're a true believer.
Absolutely.
And I am not.
Head encounters.
I am not. Just because I've not had an encounter. I always hope to have an encounter. I know that makes sense.
I don't want to have another one.
just so I can say I believe. But it's just hard for me to believe that.
Well, wait till you have one throwing limbs over your head into the river.
Well, tell us about your encounter, Coach.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. I had one time we was killing a deer. It was on the Alabama River. I'm not going to give any specific locations because I don't want everybody running up there.
Yeah, Steve's already been.
It was on the Alabama River. As we found the deer, we're field dressing the deer, and we heard something grunting, making some strange noises, and then limbs started flying over our head and landed in the Alabama River with a loud kaploosh.
So these were some good sized limbs.
Oh, bigger than your leg. You could hear them whistling when they were going through the air. And then land in the water. Kaploosh.
Kaploosh.
And we actually went back the next day and found where the ground had been disturbed and some possible Bigfoot
drop
impressions.
Okay, I thought you were going to say droppings.
No,
dropped in water.
No, he wasn't doing paperwork up there, but he was slinging limbs.
Well, when all that was going on, how many of you were in that group?
There was you two, and me and one other person, and I'm not giving out any names.
Now, what were y'all doing while that limb slinging was going on?
Looking at each other going, what was that?
I thought you were going to say we were ducking.
But, no, it was way over our head. That's what I'm telling you. It wasn't like it was right over the top of our head. It was like way up there.
So you think he was just trying to scare you off from that deer?
I do. I think he wanted the deer.
So did y'all just continue with your dressing?
Yeah.
Well, I know you've probably been back to that site since then. Any more other encounters?
There's been a couple of others. We were sitting on the front porch one night, and I have heard bobcats squeal. I've even heard Florida panthers squealing, fox, coyotes, owls. I had never heard anything like this making the noise that it was making.
What kind of noise does Bigfoot make?
Well, I'm not saying it was Bigfoot. I'm just saying I'm telling you what it was. It wasn't a hog. It wasn't a cow. It wasn't a bobcat. It wasn't a fox. It wasn't a Florida panther. It wasn't an owl. But it was a low. Rumbling started out and then ended up in almost a howl.
Well, what you may have to do is get Bigfoot a pipe.
I'm gonna tell you, if he gets too close, I'm gonna give him some lead. It'll make the hair. And now look, I know everybody thinks it's joking and everything, and that's fine. But you know, that's two times virtually in the same place. I mean, this was probably 500-600 yards apart from where the two incidents happened, and about 2 years apart.
Well, there's got to, to have these type of conferences, and that, that's a big one there in Chattanooga, and they have them all over the country. There's got to be some type of truth to the whole thing, and that's why I'm on the fence of it, because there's too much effort that's gone into these things, and have these people that have had encounters like yourself, and that can give just vivid details of what happened. So I've got to believe them, but I can't make myself believe that there's a Bigfoot.
Well, I'm gonna say this. I'm not saying that it's a Bigfoot. A Sasquatch, a skunk ape. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was something that I don't know what it was.
Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man.
Well, and that makes it even more scarier, is that you don't know.
Well, at no point in time was I scared. It was more of a curiosity about what was going on. I mean, at no point in time did I think, this, whatever this is fixing to hurt me. I never thought that.
Well, I know Stevie believes a lot stronger than you do, because Stevie was telling me that he has had over 16 encounters with Bigfoot.
Yeah, and Stevie's also been abducted by aliens, I think.
Well, Stevie also said that Bigfoot rode in his car with him, in his Chevette.
Yeah.
That they had to take the passenger front seat out, and Bigfoot had to sit in the back seat, and they had to take the front seat out so he could stretch his legs.
Wasn't it when he got lost down in Tijuana that weekend?
Yeah, that may not have been Bigfoot. What I remember telling him, that may have been a chupacabra.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the weekend he got lost in Tijuana.
He said he couldn't understand it was a whole lot easier to get in than it was to get out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I told him, I said, probably because you had that chupacabra in the car with you.
Yeah. those things leave an odor too. You could still smell that chupacabra over the Grapeco and Funyuns.
Yeah, that chupacabra's like a bad pot roast that's been sitting out in the sunshine or something.
Like a wet goat.
Yeah, some boiled eggs.
But anything was an improvement over the Funyun dust and the Grapeco's.
Well, we hadn't had a chance to talk much about Stevie. Stevie kind of went into a hibernation when the COVID hit, and he really got scared. I don't think we had any contact with him for 8 months. I think that's how long it was.
He shut himself up and wouldn't come out. And you remember when he Cloroxed the whole studio?
Yeah, well, that was,
and put the diesel fuel in it.
Yeah, he had diesel fuel and Clorox on them wood floors.
Yeah.
It soaked it up like a sponge, and that's why we had to move out of that one, and like we're doing now. But, pretty much after that, we couldn't even get him on the phone.
He told me that he was scared you could transmit it over the phone.
That's what he told me too, and I told him that.
He told me his grandmama told him not to talk on the phone that he might get the COVID.
Well, he heard it on TV. That's where grandmama heard it. Also in emails. They were worried about opening up emails.
Yeah.
And spreading that virus.
I tried to explain to him that, you know, a virus on the computer can't come to you.
It's hard to penetrate that fourth grade education, but he does his best, and
he was 15 in the fourth grade at Fleta, and that's when they decided, when he was driving to elementary school at Fleta, they decided to let him move on up.
Yeah, well, I heard he got in trouble for bringing them Grapeco into class at breakfast.
He was eating Grapeco, drinking Grapeco, and eating Funyuns for breakfast at Fleta.
Well, that was right up his alley. But, well, Coach, the Bigfoot Conference, we'll get more information on that. Past couple of weeks, we've been talking about Bring Back the Pipe. Had any luck with that? We still waiting on somebody to
Somebody to find me one.
You know, and
I have looked, and you know, I'm not real good on this World Wide Web. I still think it's a fad.
Well, I really think going to some of these thrift stores or these secondhand places, we might find one. I'm gonna go looking. If I get a chance this weekend, I'm on a pipe hunt.
I want one of those elk horns.
Yeah. Well, maybe whatever I can find. Maybe somebody whittled one out of an old birch tree or something. And have a
never go for retard. Never go for retard. Never go for retard.
Amber finish on it or something.
That would be lovely.
It sparkles in the sunshine.
That'd be glistens.
Yeah, glistens in the sunshine. Well, Coach, I know you and I have both thrown this our hats into the area of volunteering. You and I have both volunteered our services for rec league baseball, and we've had our draft and we've had our first practices. How did yours go?
It went really well. I'm gonna have to say it really did. I'm working with an older group than you are, probably because you've got more patience than I do. And when I got home, I was told that I talked harsh, and everybody thought I was mad the whole time. And I was. I guess, you know, we wear multiple coats.
Right.
We're dads. We're husbands. We're coaches, Sometimes I may come across to some of these younger players as being harsh, and I really don't mean to, but I just want what's best for them. I want them to work hard. I want them to practice hard. I want them to have fun. But as a coach, I've never had fun and lost.
Right. That's
so, I had one tell me, you know, because I told him, I said, I want to win every game. And, you know, that's our goal, to win every game, period. Not to have a good time. You can have a good time when the season's over at the pool party. But during the season, we're there to win.
Well, I know I had a little parent meeting with my folks, and you may come across as harsh, and I probably come across as too much sarcasm. That's just how I roll, and it goes over a lot of people's heads at times. But I never had a parent meeting in a rec league where I was asked 100 different questions.
And see, mine was just the opposite. I think the dads that were there to pick up the, and I don't mean this ugly. Don't want anybody. I don't want to get emails or phone calls. All right. I don't mean this ugly. The dads that were there were, they kind of hung around when it was over. They didn't ask any questions. The moms kind of got the kids and left right then.
Right.
So, mine was just the opposite. I didn't have any questions. And, you know, I don't know.
Well, I think probably a lot of that. You had an older group. I mean, I had some asking, what drills can we do at home? And I'm worried. This is my child's first year moving up from T-ball. And, you know, you have some parents that are apprehensive. And I'll tell folks, to be honest with you, that baseball cannot be fun if you have to keep moving, because baseball's a start and stop. Baseball, you've got to pay attention. It's not just a reaction at every time, like this is in football and basketball. And some folks have a hard time with the paying attention part. And baseball is probably the hardest sport to learn to play. And what I mean by that, to be exceptionally, an average player. I mean, you got to practice. A lot of folks can't just pick up a ball and be a, you know, hit it 10 times out of 10.
Well, you're trying to hit a round ball with a round bat and hit it square.
And that's a hard thing to do.
Well, that's why even in the major leagues, the hitters fail more than they succeed.
Well, that's what I was telling the parents last night, that at this age, 7 and 8 year olds, they probably have two big fears. I said the first one is getting hit with the baseball. I said, I don't care what any kid says out there, they're probably scared of getting hit with the baseball. I said the second is not being able to hit the baseball. I said it's a long season if you never put it in play. I said your confidence doesn't do a whole lot for your confidence at that age. I said, so, you know, I'm not going to guarantee I can teach your child to hit or going to make him a hitter. It's a lot of stuff you're going to have to work at home. But I said, we're going to do the best we can. Now, with that being said, I said about getting hit, my child, eight-year-old Reynolds, he struggled as a 7-year-old. And we're trying to get our confidence in the game. The year COVID hit, we basically took a step back and didn't do any baseball when they canceled everything. So he, you know, I know some kids continued playing with their travel ball and things like that. We pretty much dropped it. And so we kind of lost that skill for a year because we just for whatever reason. And last night, if he was scared of the ball, I don't think he is anymore. He took one in the cheek, in his left cheek. Now, he said, now when it hit him, you'd have thought he got shot in the head. There was blood coming out of his mouth, and he was just screaming. Now, he didn't scream in about 30 seconds. Finally got him calmed down. It didn't knock any teeth out. Got him to the bathroom, got his mouth washed off. When he came back, Coach, it already started swelling like he had some of that America's Best red man, like he had a jaw.
Beech nut?
Yeah, had some beech nut. I don't know if that was the green or the red pouch, but he had some beech nut right there. Coach, and this is how hard that ball hit him. You could see the stitches, the seams on the ball so good that you could have grabbed it and thrown a knuckleball.
Well,
and, you know, I said, well, Reynolds, I said, you shouldn't be scared of it anymore. I said, you took one of the hardest blows and took it like a champ, and you're back out here. Most kids were just, I'm done.
I would have, I'm done.
So I was proud of him for that. Now, whether we have a good baseball season or not, you know, that's a different story. But, you know, 7 and 8 year old, I had to have that talk we had. Who would like to try out for catcher? Well, we got 12 people on the team. Only had 3 that said they would want to try out. And I said, all right. I said, you're going to need, at practice, next practice, you're going to need to go get you a protective cup. I said, do y'all know what I'm talking about? And they was like, uh-uh. So I had to explain that to them. Then I went, and this was kind of embarrassing, but I went over and did it anyway because I didn't think the kids could relay the message. And it was only their moms that were there now. I said, so-and-so, he wants to try to play catcher. I said, guess what he's going to need? So, no, I said, told his mom, he needs a cup. She knew what I was talking about. But the one, she said, oh, Lord. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, he can't play back there unless he wears one. I said, that would be my rule. But I said, that's a league rule. So I said, umpires are going to check any kid who goes back there and make sure he's protected. She said, all righty then.
You know, when I was in high school, our coach used to make us stand with our hands on the fence, facing away from him, and he'd walk by with a bat a cup check. And you would hear clunk, clunk, ow! And you knew who had them and who didn't.
So you say you didn't have it?
No. No. Our baseball coach did not use, I can't believe it's not butter.
Well, we're going to have us fun this year, Coach, for that. I think both of us are going to win some games. I told my speech, too, about I want to win them all. This is where you start learning and knowing the difference in winning and losing and learning how to handle both. And I told him I don't like losing. I'm tired of losing. I didn't lose in anything till I left Evolution. It was all downhill from there. But,
Coach, you know, these kids, the one thing I see is, and this is what I told them. I said, look, I want you to be a better baseball player at the end of this season than you were when we started. And if they accomplish that, then we've had a successful year. Because, you know, as well as I do, these kids that are 10, 11, 12 years old, whatever they are right now, that doesn't define what they're going to be when they get to high school.
Right.
That doesn't define what they're going to be when they're, you know, juniors and seniors in high school. I tell the story all the time. We had a young man that played with us. At Andalusia, his name was Ryan Goggins, and when we first came up in the ninth grade, Ryan was not a good baseball player. He wasn't. But he continued to work at it, and by the time he was a junior and a senior, he was not only contributing to the baseball program, he was starting. And, you know, it's because he kept working at it and putting the time in and developed his skills. And that's the one thing about baseball. You keep working at it, you know, you may not be real good right now. You may be less than average. You may be bad. But if you keep working at it, baseball is a game where you can develop those skills to perfect it. And, you know, that's one thing that's just great about this game. And you know, I tell these young men all the time that's, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, that once you get to high school, the weight room is a great equalizer. When they get up there and they get in a good weight program and start working, then they're not only developing their skills that they're practicing, they're developing their strength, their agility, and the weight room is a great equalizer for these high school kids.
Well, I know, Coach, a lot can happen in 3 or 4 years from when those kids develop. And what's great is we get to see them when they're babies.
Oh, yeah.
Working with them. And that's what I enjoy. I remember seeing all of my older kids, all the them growing up, and you know, now they're graduating high school and out. And, time flies, as they say. And we just get to experience some of these good times with these kids, and hopefully they'll learn something from us, and we'll probably learn a lot more from them than they do from us.
Well, I think that this is a, like you said, it's a great time. These young men are great to be around. You know, what I'll tell you what surprised me the most at practice the other night, and that's how they were helping each other during practice. You know, we were doing some batting drills, and you know, after I explained to them how we wanted to do them, getting off the tee, doing soft toss, doing back toss, when we were doing all these drills, I could hear them going, "Hey, you need to get your hands up a little bit. Hey, lead with the knob. You're not loading." You know, they were helping each other.
They's coaching.
You know, they were helping coach them. And, right. You know, that's when it's fun, is when they're all out there working together, trying to make each player on their team better. And I was really impressed the way these young men were working and helping each other develop their skills.
Well, Coach, that's what you and I've been doing with this little gig right here. We're developing our skills, and we won't.
Yeah, I think sometimes I kind of backslide a little bit.
I think I do too. But we want to thank Coach Wombles from over at Sampson, head softball coach, head football coach over there. He's in full throttle right there in softball. Bigfoot Conference, we'll have more information coming up. Stevie is going to be getting that to us. And we still want to hashtag bring back the pipe. If someone can send us a pipe.
That's right. Pound sign the pipe.
Yeah, the pipe. And we'll keep you updated how our rec league season's going to unfold as we roll on. Coach, one in a row. I got Bigfoot here. Got Bigfoot here behind me. Who knows what'll happen next week? So one in a row. What kind of guest you want to have next week, Coach? Who you want? I may reach out to an assistant coach.
Coach, I'll tell you who I'd like to talk to.
All right, who you want?
I would like to get, I just went blank.
Well, why are you thinking of that? I still want to get our round table discussion of six coaches and have the discussion about private and public school ball.
Yeah, that'd be good. But the O-line coach at Andalusia,
Wendell.
Yes, I'd love to get him on because I think he does a great job with those kids.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to work on it because his brother is the offensive line coach at Ott.
Well, I'd like to get both of them.
We're going to get both of them on since Op and Andalusia are playing each other this fall.
Well, it's good that rivalry's coming back.
So we got to have them on. Brothers, O-line coaches at big rival schools.
I do. Because, Coach, I'm telling you, to me, personally, I've had the opportunity to coach them with some really good coaches. Jack Wiggum could do more with an offensive line than I've ever seen anybody do. And Wyndham at Andalusia, he's that same cut. He's that same mold of coach. He always develops those younger players, so when it's time for them to step up, they step up and perform. And he really, really impresses me as a coach.
He's a good one. Well, Coach, I'm going to work on that.
Do that.
That right there would be a good show. Be a great show.
I'd like to get him on and just talk to him about his philosophy and how he does that. I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
I think they would too. And you know what else? Both of them are big pro wrestling fanatics.
I bet they don't know about Hippie Boy yet. Or Ma Bass.
Or that Jones. the Crusher or something. Michael Jackson. Well, hey, one in a row, we got to go.
We'll see you next week.
I'm Stan for Coach Greg Ennis. Stan the coach.
Thank you for listening to Stan and the Coach on the Power Prep Sports Network.